Good morning, everybody. Welcome. It's Sunday morning here in London, and this is Lizzie and Justin. We are live again for another week of our Third Space Turning Towards Life project, and welcome. Welcome to everyone. Whether you've been with us for the 3 years that we've been doing this or have stumbled across us more recently, whether you're with us live this Sunday, which you can always do by joining our Facebook group that's just called Turning Towards Life, or whether you're listening later on a podcast or on YouTube or on our website turningtowards.life, we're so very glad that you're here with us this morning. And this week I'm saying hello, and Lizzie's chosen a source for us to begin with. So I'm handing over to you, Lizzie.
Sorry. I'm not sure my microphone's... can you hear me, Justin?
Yes. Yeah, you sound absolutely fine.
Yes. Great. So I was just going to say, for those of you who don't know, Justin and I have a very sophisticated system that we operate under, which is that if I choose the source, Justin says hello. And if Justin chooses the source, I say hello. But it took me about... like 100 and something episodes to work out the formula. So every week we would get here and I'd say, shall I say hello or shall you say hello? And then one day Justin said, Lizzie, shall I explain to you what the system is? Because I just thought he had a really, really good memory about who went first last time. But actually, no, there is a system, which is whoever chooses the source doesn't say hello, the other one does. So anyway, now you know the behind the scenes of Turning Towards Life and how sophisticated the system actually is. So anyway, we have this lovely poem this week by Carrie Newcomer. I was just saying to Justin as we were getting on the call, I had no idea that Carrie Newcomer was a poet. I know her as a person who sings and writes amazing songs. And so I stumbled across her page this week and found that she has these incredible poems. So if you are loving this, go to her page, and she just has loads of these. It's really beautiful. And this one just particularly moved me, and I got really curious as to what kind of thing could come out of it if we began talking about it. So this is called The Shape of a Heart by Carrie Newcomer. And it goes like this. There are stands of beech trees covering the hills around my home. They are old companions with bodies like sturdy elephant legs, smooth and grey with so many wrinkled eyes. Willowy when young, straight and stately as they age. I laid my hands on one of these trees last evening, flat-palmed like a Baptist blessing, putting my ear to the bark, listening for that steady pulse. There is a charred hole about 30 feet up, the evidence of something long ago, a crash of thunder, a lightning strike, a natural event, a blameless bit of bad luck that over time has mostly grown over, transforming an open wound into an open space, shaped exactly like a heart. It's a miracle she survived, living with and then living into her most devastating wound, which the slow process of healing created something singular, utterly striking, head-scratchingly wondrous, even beautiful. We stood there together in a quiet kind of kinship, unconcerned about the ash, giving off the faint smell of ozone, listening to the rustle of leaves, nodding as the golden light slipped over the ridge.
So as always, I'm going to read too. There are stands of beech trees covering the hills around my home. They are old companions with bodies like sturdy elephant legs, smooth and grey, with so many wrinkled eyes, willowy when young, straight and stately as they age. I laid my hands on one of these trees last evening, flat-palmed like a Baptist blessing, putting my ear to the bark, listening for that steady pulse. There's a charred hole about 30 feet up, the evidence of something long ago, a crash of thunder, a lightning strike, a natural event, a blameless bit of bad luck that over time has mostly grown over, transforming an open wound into an open space shaped exactly like a heart. It's a miracle she survived, living with and then living into her most devastating wound, which the slow process of healing created something singular, utterly striking, head-scratching, wondrous, even beautiful. We stood there together in a quiet kind of kinship, unconcerned about the ash giving off the faint smell of ozone, listening to the rustle of leaves, nodding as the golden light slipped over the ridge.
Such a beautiful kind of vista painted in my mind right now. These lovely words. And I'm so enjoying the feeling of our wounds being right there on display as a space, a spacious heart. Things that happened long ago and which make the shape of this tree just what the tree is. And I love the fact that she speaks about the fact that there is evidence still, or whatever the crash of thunder or the lightning strike or whatever natural event took place, there's still evidence. And yet it's become something beautiful rather than staying as it was or something. That there's something that's shifted, that's changed, and that's been made beautiful by time. And it doesn't mean that whatever the lightning strike was wasn't painful or difficult or awful. In fact, it kind of points to it and validates all of that. But right now, what's there is beauty. And so it makes me feel really, really hopeful about everything, to know that this is what happens to a wound. That there's a point in time down the line where what is a wound takes shape as beauty at some point, and that can be then a gift to others. And sounds like Karen Newcomer's in deep receipt of the wound of this tree and how beautiful it is, and how she can stand there and live with what it means to see this space shaped like a heart, and how it's changing her to be with it.
I'm so glad for this poem, Lizzie, and I, what you're saying now draws me first to something that Carrie writes at the end. We stood there together in a quiet kind of kinship. And it was occurring to me as you were speaking how easy it is to carry our inevitable wounds as something other than this. I think about it myself. There's an event in my own, we all carry a ton of wounds, right? But the one that's occurring to me right now is an event in my own life when I was about 7, which in some ways was very innocuous. Nothing terrible happened, except I got a huge shame blast from somebody I loved, and which had all kinds of implications for me. And I could feel how for a long time I carried that wound as if somehow that made me different from everyone else, like the consequences of it and the pain of it were a problem, that somehow made me different or on the outside of other people's experience, like a way of being exiled. And how often, because of that, I'd relate to this wound as a way of getting, usually for me, secretly frustrated or angry, often with myself or with other people, like the wound as an ongoing way of knowing my separateness, and an ongoing way of knowing my difference, and an ongoing way of feeling ashamed and feeling all kinds of ways of pushing away other people. And then Carrie says that what we can do with all of this is we can stand together in a quiet kind of kinship.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's such a beautiful and kind invitation that we don't even have to, we live in a culture that really privileges taking action on stuff and doing stuff. And of course, what that sometimes means about our wounds is talking about all of it and everything. And there's good in that.
Mm.
But actually, I can feel the beauty of what is it just to be together in a very quiet kind of kinship, to know that it's true of all of us, that we carry many hurts. And if we knew that each of our kind of hurts was a heart-shaped beauty in its own way, like with this beech tree, and we knew that everyone else had their own version of this, we could be together in a quiet kind of kinship without having to change one another or change ourselves. We could simply say, there's nothing really wrong here. These shapes are the inevitable turnings of a human life. And some of them may involve injustices that need addressing, and yes, all of that. But the actual being someone who carries hurts, that's not unusual. And it's part of what keeps us deepening as people, that we carry these and we live with these. And so I'm feeling right now, even Lizzie, in our conversation, you and I, and I'm also imagining everyone else who's watching and listening and feeling what it's like to be together just in a quiet, mutual, loving recognition of one another.
I love what you said, Justin. It's not unusual to carry hurts. And just even that acknowledgement, like, we're all carrying hurts, and that's what humanness is. And so much of the time we want to get rid of that. You know, we don't like it. We don't like hurting. And yet it's so normal to hurt, to feel hurt. And sometimes, like a lightning strike might be, things are really, really devastating. And it doesn't feel like this is possible. It doesn't feel like, you know, I can find the part of me goes, well, yeah, this is for other people, but the kind of hurt I have, this doesn't work. So I can feel that there's a way that we could even separate from this poem and say, well, no, not this kind. And yet it feels like an invitation to encounter our natural capacity for healing, and that it is possible. And yes, there might be shapes that are left, but there's a way that time and life are naturally oriented towards healing. Like, naturally we can accommodate wounds and they can become part of us, and we can still live, and this tree can still receive nutrients from the soil and have leaves that grow and stand strong. And there's a wound, there's this heart-shaped space. So I feel like it's an invitation to this, a life of and. Like, yes, there's a wound, but I don't have to only live from there. There's more to live from as well. There's more to me than that. Way more. And to live like I include it as a piece of my beauty, but to not think that that's what I am, or that's my only option of where to act out of or act from, feels like a very rich and wonderful invitation that also requires a lot of awareness. I can feel like I can say this, and I'm imagining how when my wounds get activated, sometimes it's really hard to to see it as a piece of beauty and to recognize it as something rather than just blindly act from it. When I'm triggered, when I'm in a moment of difficulty. And so I'm feeling into the possibility of it, which obviously has to be the first step with anything, is to feel the possibility of it. And so I'm feeling the possibility of this very strongly and feeling this kind of opening into letting this settle in, like letting this become really real, which is the gift of this poem, is to have this tree with the heart on it indelibly kind of stamped on my mind and my heart, that I have a reference point so that when things get hairy, there's this too. And so I'm just appreciating the kind of stamp or something, or the marker it's putting down in me, like a self-remembering point that we can draw on when things get difficult and I'm doing the thing, like you said, Justin, where I'm acting from a place that's wounded. I'm acting from a piece of activation that belongs from or originates from the past. And it might be the kind of thing that takes me over, and it's very difficult to reconcile it with actually what my intentions are now, and yet it still happens. I think for me, that's one of the natures that I can see of woundedness, is that it often has me act in a way that goes against the grain of what my desires are as to how to be in the world and what I want for myself and my life. And so when I begin to be different than I intend, it's a signal to wonder about the woundedness that I might be holding. And in the revisiting of that, and in the integration of all of the things that have happened to now in life, this poem feels like such a lovely invitation to welcome the wound, to let it have its place. But that it's not the place to act from, it's the place to be in kinship with. And that's what I find very moving about this.
That's such powerful language, Lizzie, to be in kinship with those places. I was feeling into whilst you were speaking that one way we go with this is, like you say, is to find ourselves acting from the wounded place, as if the triggered part of this, as if that was everything about us. And that you made this really beautiful distinction that we might know that this was happening because when we find ourselves acting far from our own deeper, truer intentions, we know that that there's a part of us at play that's not the whole of us. And I think that's the language that's really helping me with this, is when I feel into that is wounded about myself, for sure, you know, it, with people I love, there are times, of course, that I speak and act in ways that afterwards I think, wow, that's not how I want to be with you. That's not how I want to be with this person. And I've, in a way, one part of me has risen up to do something that seems very protective of me, that is far away from my truer, if I really remember myself, it's far away from my truer intentions in the world. Mm. And it was striking me whilst you were speaking that one of the sort of two parallel difficulties that we can get into. So one is identifying with the wounded part, like the part that gets triggered, the protectiveness of it, and that's all of me, and all the kinds of things that happen from there. But the other equally difficult one is trying to pretend that the wound doesn't exist at all.
Mm.
Like, I'll just be an unwounded, I'm meant to be an unhurt person, I'm not, this is not meant to happen. And neither of those paths work out for our fully being in the world. And so this invitation that you were making, you were speaking to be with our own woundedness, to include it, but to keep on doing all we can to remember ourselves, remember our vastness and our depth. And in a way I wonder if that's the practice that Carrie writes about when she says it's a miracle that she survived. And of course, honoring the miraculousness of our own courage and our own persistence and our own everything, living with and then living into her most devastating wound, which then can heal over time, that it shouldn't be at all surprising that for a long time we find ourselves living as if the wound were the only thing. But then there's a process that can unfold whereby we find out how much more of us there is, and the wound can get included with all of its beauty. And of course, the wound then teaches us something about what it is to be a human, the tenderness of the human heart and the kind of hurts that there are in the world. And it can teach us about, I think my big mistake with things like this has always been to imagine I'm the only one and who hurts in this way. And that is both deeply unhelpful in working with my own wound, but it's also cuts me off from understanding that other people hurt too. So that's the heart shape. Openness in us is what a wound could become if we found a way, step by step by step, of being with this way that would keep on teaching us how much other people hurt as well as us. But then I also wondered about this, which is there's a certain amount of this we can do on our own, but it's also a lot to ask that we do it completely on our own. And I'm feeling what it's like when someone actually or metaphorically is someone who's willing to come and put their hand, you know, on my heart or my back and simply be there and be witness to and welcome to both the wound and the rest of me. And of course, I'm glad to say that there are lots of people in my life right now who can be that, who don't turn away. Maybe particularly when I'm most triggered, stay. They don't believe. Like, we need people who, it helps when we have people who, when we get triggered by the wound, don't get caught in the same misunderstanding of us that we're in, which is I'm just this, who can go, I'm right here. I know there's more to you than that. And so we can do a lot of this on our own, and it's also something that's really, it really helps us to be with the others to do this.
I was just reflecting on that line, Justin, with what you're saying, and wondering what the difference between living with and living into a wound is. And maybe that's what the opportunity is that we bring to one another in this togetherness that you're talking about, is that when we have people who can be with us in the wounding, maybe that's the kind of opening we need to be able to live into it. Because I can imagine, you know, bringing something to you, for example, and before I've brought it, I'm with it. And it's here, and I don't quite know what to do with it, and it really hurts. And then I bring it to you, and we begin looking at it, feeling it, asking it questions. And maybe that's what living into a wound is actually turning towards it, and not only having it right here, like available to be activated at any time, but together, bringing it together with presence and heartfulness and compassion with one another, we can bring it present between us and begin to live into it, like move towards it, rather than have it held away and only comes out to play when someone hits the right button. But that it begins to be part of us, that it begins to be not held out to the side or something, often as a beacon to be pressed, by the way. Like if I hold my wound out more obvious enough, people will press it. because I think often our deepest desire is to turn towards and live into our wounds and to have them brought to the light. And so we often hold our buttons out to be pushed. And then when they get pushed, we're like horribly shocked, but actually we were holding it out on a stick in the first place because we really want it to be healed. So we want it to be activated so that we can look at it. But then living into it means bringing it, kind of reeling the stick in, reeling the fishing rod of, you know, my wound display back in and bringing it here so that we can live into it together. And just this feeling of living into a wound right now, I can feel a kind of bravery is required. But it's also very, like, I feel drawn to it. Like, it's very drawing. It's like it's like an attraction to it that's borne out by the way I hold it out to be pressed, the button to be pressed. It's the same thing. It's like I actually feel like our deepest intention is to heal. And so on some level, our lives get set up to bring us just the opportunities we need to work with our wounds. And then when we live into them, it's like we dignify them and we open space for them and they become more us, more part of us. We welcome them. And then they begin to really shape us in our hearts rather than be a kind of an appendage that we don't really want. And so this living into phrase feels very much like a reclamation or something. Because so much of what happens in a wound, it seems to me, is that parts of us get cut off or left to die or something, because we definitely can't go there again. And yet we don't want to let go of those parts because we can't and we won't. And so to live into them feels so dignifying of our lives. Because yes, so many things have happened to all of us. All of us have a life that happened up till now, filled with God knows what. Really difficult things, really beautiful things, really wounding things, really devastating things, really joyful things. Like, there's so much. And so to live into all of that, to live into each of these places that feels like it has been hurtful, seems like a massive turning towards life thing. And I just feel really invited by the living into part of this. Like, what am I living with that I could live into? What's here that I'm not bringing close in and letting it have the oxygen and the relationship and the conversation that it needs?
And taking up your wonderful observation that we're mostly carrying our wounds out in front of us because there's something in us that wants them met and addressed. But that often ends up with us feeling triggered, or, you know, what would it be to be for one another, ones who know that everyone else, like, if I know that really what's going on is that you're carrying your wounded tender place out front, then when something happens with you that might then of course be triggering with me because I've got my wounded place out front as well, instead of going, you know, instead of trying to stop you or protect myself or judge you or judge myself and all those things that we do, we might begin to find a way of going, oh, so that's your wounded tender place and I have my wounded tender place too. I wonder what happens now if I remember all of that, which can help me out of the cycle of being triggered and contracted and defensive or aggressive or any of those things. And I can maybe begin to welcome you just as you are, as a person who got hurt like we all did, a person who hurts now like we all do. And then be a little bit more like Carrie, newcomer, with her hand flat on the tree than one who runs away or tries to change you or any of those kind of things. And that in doing that, that's also one of the ways that we live into our own wounds, is by being able to be more and more that for one another. Because as we develop that capacity for others, we're also developing the capacity for ourselves at the same time.
Yeah. Just pointed me into, Justin, just one more thing, because I know it's our time to nearly end, but what if we could be the people that put our ears to the bark of other people and listen for the steady pulse, in spite of the thing that you're saying that is out front? Each of us has a steady pulse. And what if we were that for each other, also listening for the steady pulse that exists right next to, and in a way much bigger than, whatever the wound is that we're encountering right now. Oh, so lovely. Well, Carrie Newcomer, thank you. Maybe Carrie might listen to this one day. We could see what she thinks. It's a wonderful thing when the people who write the things we use as sources send us messages or thank us or join the conversation or whatever they do. And maybe that will happen with Carrie one day. So Carrie, if you're ever listening, thank you so much for this poem and for your work in the world. So stunning. And thank you all for listening and being here with us in this very heartfelt conversation. And we are very, very, very moved to be doing this every week. So thank you for you being here so that we keep doing it. And we will be back next Sunday with another source of some beautiful kind from Justin.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye. Bye.